Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And the last verse of the last chapter, please. The last five words. Grace be with thee. Amen. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. The word Timothy means the honor of God and is the purpose for which God saved you and saved me, that we might honor him, live for him, not I but Christ, a life of selflessness, that others may see him in you, the one who has redeemed you. It starts out and tells you once more of that subject so often mentioned, the grace of God. A model, a young woman lived down the street from me in Boca Raton. Her hair, blonde, was way down the middle of her back. A beautiful young person, but she didn't know the Lord. Had the privilege of pointing her to Christ, and she married. She had a child, and all seemed well. She had a second child, but on the way to the hospital, her husband drove her to the door and turned and said, "I don't love you anymore." She went in to have that child alone. A little while passed by, and that young girl got on the phone. The child was born. Everything was fine. But she called the girl with whom her husband ran off. She said, "May I talk to you?" She said, "Yes." She went over and opened her Bible. And she led that young woman to the Lord. The woman said, "How can you even talk to me, let alone forgive me?" She said, "It is not I, it's the grace of God in me." And she led that person to Christ. They both went on well for the Lord. Here, young Timothy needed the grace of God. We've mentioned in the past the letters. It's God's grace. It's redeeming grace and abounding grace and costly grace and eternal grace. Alex Sawyer was a friend of mine. He opened the meetings for me in the Bahamas constantly. Over 6 foot tall, a handsome young man. But he went hunting one day. As he was hunting, he turned to shoot some pigeons and he stepped into a hole. He stepped into vines. And he dropped into this hole about 5 feet deep and the gun went off and blew away his face. His wife called and said, "They can't help him in Nassau. Could you go down to Miami? They're flying him there now." And I waited and saw that victim of a gunshot wound. It was one of the most horrible sights you'd want to see. The thing of interest was that 36 major surgeries on his face. They took a hip bone, they took a rib, they took the skin from off his leg. They rebuilt his face. The hospital in Nassau said, "We can't do reconstruction on the face. This man needs to be transferred." And I went in for 3 months every day. I was by his side. God brought him through. He wanted to overcome fear, and some men chartered a plane, and they're going hunting up in Alaska. They asked Alec if he would go. He prayed about it and thought about it, and he went. He said they were high over the mountains, and all of a sudden, one of the engines shut off on the plane. and everything below was just perfectly white. He said, as they were going, the other engine started to sputter. They were going down closer and closer. And you couldn't tell the height of anything. It was all white, and it was getting in the evening. And he said, the plane went down. We landed in snow. But just as they landed and people were screaming, the men, it looked like this was it. Alex started seeing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. They landed. One got out of the plane and he looked. 10 more feet and they were dropped over the side of the mountain and been gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. His testimony spoke to all there. Young Timothy, the name again, meaning the honor of God, he wanted to live for God, and the Apostle Paul was his teacher. What did he teach him? It starts right here. He told him, first of all, grace, mercy, and peace. Without the grace of God, you and I couldn't have peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross and the mercy of God. It's above the heavens. It can't be measured. It's infinite. It's eternal. And by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he tells you in the book of Titus, and remember, Titus is a Gentile. Paul's a Jew. And he says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Jew and Gentile, teaching. You see, where you find grace, you find government. Salvation is not a fire escape. It's that you and I might live for him. And it's a privilege. It's a joy. How many have you witnessed to this past week? Paul witnessed constantly. You know those magnets that are on the refrigerators around? I think I have out about 9,000 now. I get in a private plane somebody chartered and took me with them, and there it is up on the dash. I went to the hospital and I find it there on the wall. I went into the place where they give the transfusions and there it is. I went to the mall and as I went up, it's in shop after shop. And it's in plain sight. And that simply means while I'm here, it's still witnessing. And that's what God wants in your life and mine. A witness, a light, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I found that grace 3 days after my 20th birthday, having joined the Merchant Marine, wanting to get away from people watching, wanting to get away from accountability. And it took that automobile accident to awaken me. And God's love is so great. He's going to bring you to himself. He loves you. I saw Jim and Betty head to head, a brother and a sister, and the mother carried in. And all she could scream was, my babies, my babies. She lost her 2 children in that car wreck. And God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And you don't have to wait. Young Timothy heard the word of God. And hearing, he believed. And then he lived for the Lord. He honored God. And he honored him in 4 different manners, which you can do also. There's a lot of people today, and there's sorrow. The Bible even teaches that he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I found this to be true early in the ministry. I was with Mr. John Dixon, that many of you perhaps remember. We were in Texas. 1 had professed, 2 had professed, 3, 4, 5. God was blessing. I learned not to count converts. God weighs them, not counts them. That's what's important. But as we went on, there was one case, and this man was impossible with men. Nobody could reach him. They prayed. Mr. Dixon and I went back after meeting, and he would be there, but hard. And finally we wept. We realized we can do nothing. This man's lost. He's going to be in hell. And we got beside the bed, and you could hear us in the house, weeping over a precious soul that we hardly knew. But if you think that's something, what do you think about God? He knew the worst about you and loved you just the same. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What was young Timothy's ministry? He was going to comfort, first of all. And that happened at Thessalonica. Oh, these people were heartbroken. There was death. They were left without hope, apparently, until the apostle writes to them and tells them about a blessed hope. And that's the thought when he writes and Titus is hearing the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, it's appeared to all men. Then he goes teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking, what's that mean? In verse 10, he says, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Adorn it, wear it, let people see you belong to Christ. Then he says, abhor. And what is that? Youthful lusts. The things that Satan will use to draw you away and take you into sin. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. And he goes farther. And then he says there's an occupation. Something to look for. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. I never forget that plane we were about to take off from Marsh Harbor in Abaco, Bahamas. The plane was full, but there were two little boys, and they had gone down to the desk. And the little boy said, Mother died, and we want to go over to the funeral. And they let them aboard with their little bags. One of the fellows came and sat by me, and I tried to comfort him. We finally landed, and the little fellows thought they were like at home, and they started to dial at the customs office. They got all wrong numbers, and I went up and I said, what are you trying to do? He said, we're trying to find the undertaker where Mother's body is. We want to go. I said, well, let me try. So I asked the operator if she could help us, and she tried the various hospitals, and then came a phone call. Are you the man that's trying to locate a funeral parlor? Well, I have good news for you. She's not dead. She's in the Fort Lauderdale Hospital. And when I turned to those little fellows, I wish you could have seen their face. What a joy. She lives. And you know, that should be the very thought of you and me today with the Christ of God. He lives. We don't have a dead Savior. He's not on the cross. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And the Apostle Paul goes and he starts out and he says, comfort those people. And if you see somebody in tears today, rejoice with them if they rejoice, but weep with them if they weep. And that's been a ministry that I've enjoyed for a number of years. Then there was another ministry, and this young man now is saved by God's grace. And what's he going to do? Well, there's a church, and the church has false teaching. And the whole thing is about the Word of God. Two men turned from it. Two men corrupted it. Two men opposed it. And two men imitated it. And it's all the Word of God. And it's this Word that keeps you and keeps me, that saves me, that gives me the blessed hope. So I should dig deeper. I should be swimming in this book. It's all for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. And you ask me why I'm happy. Remember that piece? And here's the reason why. He loves you, and he loves me. And Timothy was being taught now. There are going to be people, and they're going to oppose the word of God. Be ready for them. There's going to be people that are going to imitate the word of God. Use truth and expose it. Then there's people, and they're going to actually turn from the word of God. You're going to see them make a profession, which will be false, and then they're going to turn. And then finally he comes down and he says there are those and they've corrupted the word of God. They even told one time that the resurrection was past already. And they corrupted God's word. So we have to get back to the word of God. Young Timothy is now saved by the precious blood of Christ. Remember again, you go back to the book of Leviticus 17:13. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We told about that man this morning, the Jewish man, how that he was really tormented with the fact he could not find a blood sacrifice, and the word of God never changed. It was even brought up by Paul in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, no remission, no forgiveness. How then can he be saved? He told about the Jewish meeting where he went in the synagogue. He went seeking to find peace with God and how to live for God. And what he found was it was the time of the Passover, and they were going to, first of all, put all 11 out of their houses, which speaks of people today. And they put their sin out of their life. But God requireth the past. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sins that you've forgotten, Job says they're recorded. And you'll answer for them. This man said, atonement. Where can I find atonement? Nothing but the blood. And then he said, you'll not only put the leaven out of your houses, you'll eat the matzah. And there's a lot of people, and they go to what is called communion, to the breaking of bread, and they've never had an experience with the Christ of God. You see, there are three types of people in the world. The natural man. He's blinded by the god of this world. Then there is the carnal man. He's saved by the grace of God. And that carnal man has not grown, has no depth, needs to be taught more, need to be nurtured, and examples set before him. And the carnal man, he receives. John 1:12, as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he the privilege to become the children of God, even to them believe on his name. He receives. God gave three gifts to you. He gave his scriptures, he gave his son, and he gave his spirit. What do you do with them? Then it continues on. And this man, when he tells them, they'll put the leaven out. They'll eat the matzah and the roast lamb. And they'll go to the synagogue. And they'll do the ritual. They'll do all that the Talmud tells them. But he says, where is the blood sacrifice? Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Just because you do the right things does not mean you're saved. There has to be a receiving. John 1:12 again, as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the carnal man. Then when it comes to the spiritual man, he's saved now, he's received Christ, and he releases. And he tells others about the Christ of God. When I was in business, I couldn't wait. The customers came in, and I saw one saved, and I saw two saved. And God was blessing his word. An old business had no more interest. Souls were being saved, and they were added to the church. They were going on for God. And right next door to my store was my father's, a butcher. In the meat business, how do you serve God like this? People come in, saying, I got four guests. I don't know what to do with them. Give them a leg of lamb. All right, he brings the lamb out, puts it on the block. Did you ever know in the Bible it speaks about a lamb? The wealthy man would say, no, let me show you. Brings it out, leads the man to the Lord. That was his way of showing Christ. He was letting the light shine. And you know, I only tell it that you might let the light shine. Plant the seed. God will do the blessing. God does the saving. I'm in the most helpless position any man could be. All I can do is sow the seed. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that blesses. We're only servants, and we're his servants for Christ's sake. Plant some seed this week coming, if the Lord be not come. Let him bear the fruit. Let him give the fruit. Let him bring joy into your heart. I don't know who was the happiest, the person got saved the first time or me. The first customer that got saved. I thought I owned them. It was unbelievable. I was so happy and they were so happy. And it went on. But you know, the whole thing came from the grace of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And I wrote a poem. And it was about the grace of God. And you know, it's sacrifice. What did the Lord give up? You may have to give up something in life. It says no gold could be found on the Lord here on earth. The wise men brought much at the time of his birth. Show me a penny, these words he expressed. He slept on a mountain, no home for his rest. No reputation, the letter R. For Elohim, the creator, his name was Jehovah, not ever greater. He was humble and meek, did his own father's will. Though in the form of a man, he was ever God still. A letter A, no affection from those he loved unto death. It was he who controlled their life in each breath. Though love brought him down, no love could be found at the cross where his blood flowed down to the ground. The letter C, no crib when he entered this world his hands made. In a stable's manger, with animals, God's lamb was laid. Born to be a sacrifice, he never wavered from the task. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Is the question he asked. The last letter, E. No escape from the cross where he bled and he died. Satan sought to kill him. Herod also tried. For this cause came I unto this hour. Though hated, despised, and rejected, on you his love was showered. Can you reject a love like this? A man willing to be your substitute, and he knew all that would confront him. He knew all he would pass through for every sin you ever committed. He knew in advance how many of your sins were in advance when Christ died. He knew in advance everything you would ever do. And what did he do? He walked willingly to that cross. And until the last stroke for your sins and mine was upon him, he never said it is finished. And when the last came down, blood freely flowing, he said, it is finished. I told you they found that big container over there in Jerusalem. And when they opened it, it was parchments, deeds of property from way back in the patriarch's day. On it, the deeds and one word across each. The same word as it is finished, paid in full. That meant nothing left to do. Ownership. And do you know, when Christ died for you, he bought you. He bought you with his own precious blood. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. You know, it's something that brings joy to the heart. We mentioned before, if you really want to find a test of a Christian, the first thing you'll find about them is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you have faith in the Christ of God? Timothy had. If you have faith, did Christ die for your sins? You say, yes. Was he buried? Did he rise again? Yes. Is there any more you can do? receive him, and then release the message to others. It's the most joyous life you can find, so he wants faith. And what's the next thing he has? Feeding on the Word of God. How do you do that? Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Read the Word of God. When you want to find an answer, find it in him. And then you come again and there's still something else. You were following man, perhaps. Now he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He'll give you souls for your labor. Do you know the key to the blessing we're seeing up in Okeechobee right now? 10 elders go in every Wednesday to a room called Gethsemane. And in that room, they stay all day long, no phones. Do you know what they're doing? Praying. They pray all day long, every Wednesday. And each man brings up the various things of which he is in charge. And they all pray. And God blesses. As I mentioned, I've never seen such love in my life. And I've never seen such power in prayer in my day. Why? It's continual. They realize their helplessness. And so the first thing they do, they have faith. Then they feed on the Word of God. Then they follow the Lord. And then it's back in John 15, fruit bearing. Seeing souls brought to Christ. I remember one big fella, about 6'4". He didn't believe in God. He was tough. One day he trusted Christ. And he was given his testimony. And I always sit on the back row, back at the barn. And he said, when I came here, I didn't believe in God. But that guy's preaching back there, he said, got to me. It wasn't me. It was the Word of God got to him. And that young man is serving the Lord today. Just a mile from where all those murders took place here in Virginia, we have a work called the Eagle's Nest. The man was an alcoholic, and God saved him and saved his wife. And they're yielding their entire life to working with that type of people right in Blacksburg and seeing a work done for eternity. Young Timothy, what he actually did, he started out and he comforted. Then he had to correct those people at Corinth. They were wrong, and he corrected them with the Word of God. And then he went to Ephesus, and it was construction. He was building up the people in their most holy faith. How did he do it? Through the Word of God. And then finally, the Apostle Paul is going to get his reward for being faithful. What was it? To be beheaded. And if you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And the last thing that you can find with that young man, Paul called him, come quickly, bring the parchments. What was it? Companionship. And you know, it's an important thing in life, your companions. Oftentimes, it's your companionship that will lead you astray. Oh, they profess to be saved. And I can tell you of some instances would break your heart. Of leaders, of churches. But God takes a specific man, young Timothy, and he honored God. He lived for God. He received Christ as his Savior. He released the message to others. They saw others brought to Christ, just as Paul, then young Timothy. And then Timothy was taught in 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And the gospel went on and on and on. And that's what's happening. Will you be a link in that chain? Will you tell another about the person of Christ this week? And see the joy that comes in your heart and theirs when they trust in him. Trust and obey. I'll read another poem before I sit down. And it's called Changes. The grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men hath appeared. The Word of God was honored then, respected and revered. Today the TV takes its place. Morality and true love fled. Men turn their back on the Son of God, who for them his blood was shed. Man by wisdom knew not God was written long ago. The patriarchs would weep aloud if they knew man sank so low. Deceitfulness is one of the signs we'll see in the very last days. Is it found in you? Is it found in me? For victory, man now prays. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for thy grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord when all around him was sin. And we thank thee that grace is available today. That the invitation still is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we thank thee he made peace through the blood of his cross. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us then to live for him, to honor God as Timothy. We look to thee for blessing upon each that's gathered here tonight. Our needs vary as our faces, but thou art a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Grant we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We commit this meeting into thy hands. Give journeying mercies. And grant that we too may be bright shining lights as this world grows darker and darker. For we ask it for thy glory, in the Savior's precious name. Amen.